Do your kids love the kitchen as much as mine? In this episode, I'm going to share some great tips for cooking with kids, as well as resources for obtaining kid-friendly recipes.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hi, everyone. This is Felice Gerwitz, and today I'm going to talk about cooking with kids. This is episode 224, and I'd like to thank our network sponsor, Radish, a cooking club and curriculum perfect for homeschool families. We're offering a special promotion just for our listeners and just in time for the holidays or special birthdays or events. And they even have a wonderful birthday set for kids' parties. You can check it out on their website at radishkids.com/homeschool, and be sure to spell radish with two D's. Just listen in a few minutes and I'll give you that coupon code. You can download the show notes for this episode at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, Cooking with Kids. Look for episode 224. And today I'm going to share with you some really fun tips that I have used through the years with my own children. In fact, this episode went so long, I had to cut it into two. So I'm going to be doing another episode on healthy food conversions that work wonders with your recipes. And that is going to be podcast 226. So again, look for that on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. All right, guys, it's time for True Confessions. I love to eat, but it has to be really good food. I grew up in a big Italian family, and there's always something cooking, and it's the same in my house. And there were always these wonderful smells. And other than the live snails crawling out of the pot that I would not eat, I enjoyed most Italian foods my parents made. Yes, it's a true story. Can you imagine being a five-year-old and walking into the kitchen with a pot boiling away and snails escaping, and they were climbing up the wall, and I screamed, and so my mother came running in to see, you know, what was happening. She thought I was dying, and she just very calmly walked over to the wall and, you know, pulled them off and threw them back in the pot. So obviously, I wasn't going to touch those things, I can still remember it to this day. But as I got older, I did try the snails dipped in garlic butter, and while they tasted good, the texture grossed me out. And that's how it is with most of us, right? It comes down to smell, to texture, and of course, taste. The visual appeal is really important to little ones, and that's why so many kid-oriented recipes or books use beautiful illustrations and graphics and try to make cooking fun for kids. Well, it doesn't really take a whole lot of arm twisting. I think kids love the kitchen, and really the biggest obstacle is us, right? We're usually in a hurry. We have things to do, and dinner time sometimes is the worst time to have our kids helping us. But I'm going to share with you some ways that you can make cooking really pleasant and to have the kids around and have it be really manageable. Well, kids love the kitchen. And especially with the sound of food cooking, to say nothing about the amazing aroma of the food. So what are we going to do? So we're pressed for time, especially homeschooling, and the little ones can definitely delay our cooking and prep time. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about some age-appropriate jobs and ways to include the children and still get your meals done on time. So first, a disclaimer. If you're a perfectionist, this may be a time to take a step back and expect disasters. I know, cooking is going to be a mess with the kids. I promise you that. And even back in the day when I tried to mitigate some of the mess, I had an old tablecloth on the floor. And as a young mom, I was cooking with my kids and trying to make, a hand-stirred, it was actually called a dump cake. I don't know if you've made that before. And you just dump everything in a pan, and it's flour and cocoa and eggs and oil, and you just dump it all, and the kids can beat it. And it sounded super, super easy, right? until my kids spilled flour on the tablecloth and I watched my toddler track flour everywhere in his bare feet when he walked through the spilled pile on the nice little tablecloth. So much for being prepared and keeping the mess contained. And then, as I'm trying to cook, my babies are underfoot. So there was nothing like pots and pans and a wooden spoon. And my husband would tease me that we wasted money on toys when they'd rather have the pots and pans. I think you can relate to that. So what I did as a young mom was I looked at the tasks my kids could help with. And so we did some basic things like setting the table, washing the dishes or putting dishes in the dishwasher. And again, if you're using glass dishes, that's obviously not going to work. Or cooking with mom. And I would select some of the things that they could do. Like, for example, when they were a little bit older, if they cooked with me, they could help with some food choices. If they helped cook as my family got bigger, they were exempt from cleanup and they could help plan a menu. So, of course, they were really interested in helping. And as a young mom, I would have the kids help with things such as peeling carrots. There were no baby carrots in our day. And I would cut them up or peeling potatoes, things like that. They would enjoy some of the prep tasks, even the little ones. My daughter gives the kids kitchen days, which consist of the various jobs that she breaks up that are age appropriate. Many times those who, cook are excited about their day. And my grandkids have come over and told me, Grandma, this is my cooking day. Can I help you? And I've allowed them to help. So I think that's why I really enjoy looking at kids helping because I think it does so many different things. For one thing, it's hands-on experience for the little kids. The second, you can teach things like cleanliness, teaching kids to be neat in the kitchen. You can talk about kitchen safety, which is very, very important. Not using the sharpest knives, obviously. I just had a 22-year-old cut the tendon in his hand with a knife. Now, this is a child who used a sharp knife at 4 very successfully. And I was kind of teasing him about that. Unfortunately, he did need surgery to repair it and say a prayer for him because it's not 100% repaired yet. And it's been about 6 weeks, and he still doesn't have full range of motion. And, this was a child who was very careful with a knife when he was littler. And I think sometimes we're so worried about our little ones being safe that when we get older, we become complacent. How many of you have cut yourself on a regular basis when cooking in the kitchen, right? We tend to be complacent. So teaching our children to be safe with hot things, the oven, obviously. One of the things I would do is if I opened the oven and the little kids came into my kitchen, they were supposed to sit down right where they were. And I would just say, sit down, please. And they would, because it's harder for them. I know kids are quick, but I would be able to safely get something out of the oven. So we're teaching our kids about, safety with knives and also things that are hot, as well as safety with touching food. Like one of the things that we want to be careful with is, raw meats, especially raw chicken and things like that. And, one of the other things I loved doing with my kids was having them write out the recipes. Kids love to do copy work. I didn't do a whole lot of copy work with my children, and I really regret that. I wish I had done more. But if you do, that's something that the children could take a recipe and copy it neatly and then use that to read and follow directions. If they have younger siblings, they can read and the directions to the children, the younger kids. And we could talk about, what do we do first? It's really fun if you've ever asked your kids how to make something, especially the little ones. Ask them how you make scrambled eggs or ask them how you make, cereal, just basic things. And it's hysterical what they will say. We think that they're observant and they see us doing things, but unless they're helping you, they're not going to understand the steps involved. Cooking lends itself to math skills, right? Perfect for homeschoolers. They can talk about temperature to cook. They can measure, calculate, use fractions, divide recipes, or add them, increasing them 2 or 3 times depending on your family size. I know my cookie recipe went from one recipe to triple the recipe because we keep cookie dough in the refrigerator and make it, you know, fresh. We don't just make a ton of cookies. We used to do that. And either cookies go stale. Remember, I told you I only like good food. Or we'd eat too many, another hazard of having too many cookies around. So if you just make enough for each person, you won't have any waste and they last a lot longer. So that's why that's great. You can learn about agriculture, how things are grown and farming. You can learn about geography, where do the foods come from? A lot of times during the winter, we get things that do not grow in our area during the winter, right? And so you can talk to your children about where different foods come from. A good nutrition, how food works to make us strong. You know, you can talk about health in your body. Obviously, cooking skills, learning various techniques like whisking or dicing. There are so many gadgets now. I have one that I love that you can push on it, and I forget what it's called, and it can make things, you know, different size. You can use the different size little widgets that come in it. There used to be a thing called a salad shooter. I don't know if you can still find them, but I used to love that thing, and I went through a ton of them before mine all broke, and I haven't seen them out there. If you can find one, let me know and message me or put a comment on the show notes on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com podcast 224. I'd love to know where to get one of those. But doing things like that or using a food processor, those are things that the kids can do that are pretty safe. And we want the kids to have a really good experience. But as they get older, you want to teach them how to chop things with a knife or, you know, how to whisk things or even how to temper things, being able to pour eggs into hot liquid without making curdled scrambled eggs, right? So there's a lot of, you know, more advanced techniques that you can use with your kids once they get a little bit older. You can teach them about planning, shopping for foods, putting together a grocery list. You can study different cuisines, Asian, Spanish, Italian, Mexican, Thai, you know, whatever it is your family likes to eat. And that is so wonderful. And I think that's why, you know, when I'm looking for recipes, there are so many kid books out there, but I really love what Radish Kids has to offer because it includes little kids who are often left out, but it has the recipes easily broken up for an older child to follow. And there's even a shopping list included in the site. And for homeschoolers who are around each other so much of the day, cooking gives us another outlet that combines a necessary task, cooking and eating, with something enjoyable. And of course, as a homeschool mom, there's always the advantage of including school in these tasks, as I just shared with you. You know, I'm going to take a quick commercial break here, but when we come back, I'm going to share with you some fun cooking techniques and how you can prep ahead and how I make cookies with my grandkids when they come over, which is much improved than what I did with my own kids. Believe me, a lot of times, when the kids made such a mess, I would, you know, try to get some of the stuff done without them around. But I've really perfected my technique of using, you know, help in the kitchen, if you will. I don't know how much help it really is, but, you know, it's really great for the kids and I want them included when they come over. So when we go come back from this commercial break, I'm going to share some of those tips with you. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, Felice Gerwitz here, and I want to give a special shout out to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network sponsor, and that is Radish. Radish is a cooking club and curriculum specially designed for kids by chefs and educators. Radish is perfect for homeschooling families. You can teach a thematic cooking lesson that incorporates math, science, nutrition, geography, and culture. With Radish, the kitchen is the tastiest place to learn. Use coupon code PODCAST at checkout for $15 off a 6 or 12 month membership. Visit radishkids.com/homeschool to learn more and to download a free lesson. That's Radish with two D's, R-A-D-D-I-S-H kids.com/homeschool to learn more and download a free lesson. Hey, everyone, and welcome back. This is episode 224, VintageHomeschoolMoms.com, or where the show notes are. And today we are talking about cooking with kids. And, you know, cooking is fun, and it can be with some prep time ahead of time. And I was going to share with you how I make cookies with the little ones. And I have them here. There are seven of them, ages 1 to 11. So let me just share with you some of the things. Okay, the one-year-old plays with spoons and measuring cups in a plastic bucket that I keep just for that. You know, it's those big buckets that have ice cream in them. They are wonderful to keep. And if I can keep my husband from taking them to work where he throws, you know, stuff in there. But those are great. And so the little one's playing with, you know, some extra measuring spoons that I have, and he's having a grand old time. The three-year-old gets to help pour pre-measured ingredients into the mixer, and she loves that. The 5 and 7-year-old, who are boys, like to man the mixer, going faster or slower. And yes, we've had flying flour everywhere. And yes, they've helped to clean it up, so that didn't happen, you know, quite as often again, you know, but it's super fun to make the mixer go fast. And I have one of those big stand mixers, so you have to be really careful with that. The girls, 11 and 10, take turns reading the recipe out loud, and they help with the actual doing, measuring, cracking eggs, and things like that. Have I had eggshells in the eggs? Yes, which is why we use a separate bowl for them to crack, and they're actually really good at it. And then I typically make roll cookies, not the ones that you roll out, but you scoop the dough and they can roll them into balls. So I make some amazing ginger snaps. I have a wonderful sugar cookie recipe, and I can share those with you in the show notes. So if you want to head over to VintageHomeschoolMoms.com, episode 224, I've got the recipes for those particular things on there. If there are eggs in the dough, I'm careful about letting them eat it. I don't, I know a lot of you listening are like, are you kidding me, Felice? You don't let your kids eat cookie dough? I never have. And the good news is I don't like it, which the good news because of calories. But I really don't think it's safe. And if you do, then obviously do what you want to do with your family. But it also allows us to keep cookie dough in the refrigerator, whereas a lot of people say, you know, if I knew I had the cookie dough in the fridge, I'd eat it. So again, you know, use your judgment there. And here are some things to ensure better quality cooking time with your kids, okay? And these really have helped me. The timing is important. If you're in a big rush, or you've got to get the kids out for lessons, or, you know, there's a game that night, or whatever that is, it's not the time to cook with your kids. It really isn't going to work out. For us, early afternoons after lunch was the time that we prepared cookies, or I would make homemade bread. Another great thing I do with my kids and my grandkids. So that was, you know, a good time for us. Weekends are best. You know, if you're busy during the week, you can maybe use a weekend time to do that cooking. And then also giving them age-appropriate skills. I'm not going to have the one-year-old breaking an egg, although he would probably love it. So that's not going to work out. Safety considerations are important, as I shared with you earlier. Sharp knives, hot stove, things like that. So I typically give the little kids a blunt knife and something that's easy to cut, right? So if we're dicing cheese for dinner, I will give them block cheese and let them cut it. No, I don't care if it's crumbly or it's not in perfect little squares. That's okay. So like I said, if you're a perfectionist, this might be the time to let some of that go. If you can't let it go, then give them other jobs that you're okay with. Simpler dishes and meals are important. You know, obviously you can't have them tempering chocolate or doing something like making fudge unless you have a shortcut fudge recipe, because ours is a long, you know, recipe that is very difficult to make. So you're going to use, you know, simpler dishes and simpler meals with your kids. And again, you know, Radish Kids offers things like one of the kits that we received had chocolate pudding, sloppy joes, and tater tots, and a salad. It's very high on the kids' list of favorite foods, and especially, if you try to use some things like organic ingredients, then it's going to be better or healthier for them. For example, I only buy organic milks. I wish we could get raw milk, but we can't in our area. And, you know, these are things that you can use yourself. I know that a lot of the things like chocolate pudding or even sloppy joes or tater tots that you would buy in the store have so many processed and preservative ingredients. So that's one of the things I enjoy in being able to make things at home. And even ahead of time, like when you make the tater tots for us, we could make them and even, you know, cook them halfway and freeze them. So you've got something that is already done that you can pull out of the freezer. Not so much with the sloppy joes or the pudding. And I'm telling you, my kids really love sloppy joes. You can make things like muffins, which are not don't have a whole lot of ingredients. You can assemble a pizza. We use like mini bagels, or you can use gluten-free flatbreads or even English muffins, whatever is in your family's dietary allowance. And, you know, one of the things I was sharing about the prep ahead, you know, sometimes the messier activities can be prepped ahead. For example, if I've got the little kids coming over, I'll have the girls, you know, come before I get the little ones involved, and they'll measure out the flour or the sugar, and we'll have it ready in little containers that the little ones can just pour easily. If you have older kids, obviously they can do this on their own. If I'm making blueberry muffins and I use fresh blueberries, little kids love to help wash them. And I use an extract. It's grape seed extract. And I keep it on my counter and I'll put a couple of drops in water and just rinse out the fruit and, you know, then rinse it with clear water. And then I'll have the little kids involved and they can take the fruit, you know, with their hand and put them in a colander. If I'm using frozen blueberries, which I tend to freeze my fresh blueberries once I have them washed and dried, I'll put them on wax paper, throw them in the freezer, and then I will put them in a bag. Which works really great, and it's actually better than frozen blueberries you buy, but they still make a mess. I don't know what it is about frozen blueberries that makes such a mess. So that is something that you'll want to prep ahead, put that in a 1-cup measure, and just let the kids pour that in, and then fold it into the batter. I keep paper towels handy. Yep, a whole roll of them, and I'm not afraid to use them. So I hope my daughter's not listening to this episode. Because she's very frugal with her paper towels. So I am not, and it keeps the messes down a little bit anyway. And I will do things also if I'm going to be cutting up some things that I think are too difficult for them to cut, I will have that done ahead of time and then they can put it together. For example, if I'm making a salad, I'll have the tomatoes cut, or I'll use things like cherry tomatoes and then we can just wash them and they can throw them in. And they love that. I have a salad spinner where I can rinse lettuce and things like that. And I can't tell you how many of those I have gone through. So again, if you have one that has worked and you've had for years, I'd like to hear about it. Mine tend to fall on the floor and crack, or something happens in storage. Something gets squished on it, and I even keep it in a different closet. But I love that thing, and it, you know, tends to clean your lettuce really well. And spin it dry, and the little kids like to use that. So as I shared with you, I ended up going over on this podcast. So I'm recording another one on healthy alternatives and substitutes for your recipes, and you can look for that on podcast 226. That will air on our birthday celebration week. I am so excited. We are celebrating our 4th birthday at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. And I look forward to another year and have seen changes in our lineup as people come and go. But believe me, we try to bring you the best podcasters ever. In order to podcast on this network, and if you know anyone who's interested, have them contact me at felice@mediaangels.com. I have some things that I look for in a podcaster, and I have been very happy with the lineup that we've been able to bring you through the years. So hope you will be there for our birthday celebration. We have them every year around the same time. And this year is going to be a little bit earlier, the end of September, the last week. So our birthday celebration tends to be around this time. Well, thank you. God bless. Hope you have enjoyed this podcast. And also check out radishkids.com/homeschool. Use the code podcast for their discount. I'm excited because the holidays are coming up. And guess what? Some of my grandkids, nieces, and nephews are going to be getting some really awesome gifts that will be coming to them all year long. Take care. God bless. And talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.